Good morning. You are welcome for your extra hour of sleep. I thought you'd enjoy that, so I hope you enjoyed it. And today we gather on for a celebration of All Saints Day. For centuries, the church has celebrated November 1st as All Saints Day, a day to remember those who have gone before us in the faith, who have died in the faith, who now wait with us for that last day when Christ will return and bring us to new life, to life everlasting. So we celebrate that this day. It's a day of remembering loved ones who have died in the faith, and yet rejoicing that there is the hope in the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also today and the next few weeks, these are the last weeks of the church year. The church year ends right before Advent. And it's also tradition that the readings towards the end of the church year start to focus on the last days, the end times. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks with a little series called Future Vision 2020. Next year's 2020. Get it? Right? And 2020, seen with clear vision, and God has given us vision to see the hope for the future in Jesus Christ. Reminder, use the attendance cards in the lap boards and put those in the offering plate later in the service. And we begin today on page 4 of the bulletin. Our order of service is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation liturgy. We begin with the preface. God's blessings. Please stand. In these last times, and in this old age of the world, what a remarkable favor of Almighty God has arisen. According to his unspeakable love, patience, and mercy, he willed that the light of his gospel and word, through which alone we receive true salvation, this gospel should arise and shine clearly and purely. Therefore, a brief and concise confession of faith, a declaration of what we believe, was prepared from God's word, the most holy writings of the prophets and apostles. The first and chief article of faith is this: Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, was put to death for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. He alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Alleluia. Amen. On this article of faith rests all that we teach and practice.
Rejoice, O pilgrim throng. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your the cross of Christ your King.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our churches teach in accordance with the historic creeds that there is one God, one undivided divine essence, and that this one God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct and co-eternal persons of the same divine essence. And we believe that the Holy Scriptures truly testify to this. Amen. We believe, teach, and confess that the distinction between law and gospel is to be kept in the church with great diligence as a particularly brilliant light, so that the word of God may be divided rightly. The law is a divine doctrine which teaches what is right and God-pleasing, and which condemns everything that is sinful and contrary to God's will. Since the fall of Adam, all people are conceived and born in sin. No one by nature is able to have true fear of God and true faith in God. This inborn sickness and hereditary sin condemns and brings the eternal wrath of God on all those who are not born again through baptism and the Holy Spirit. This is the essence of a genuinely Christian life, to acknowledge that we are sinners and to pray for grace. Amen. The crowd at Pentecost, confronted with their sin, they asked the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Having heard the condemnation of our sin in the law of God, we find ourselves asking this same question. For this we turn to the gospel, which teaches what we are to believe. Christ has satisfied and paid for all guilt without any merit of our own, and has won the forgiveness of sins and eternal life for us. This gospel is a comforting and joyful message which comforts our consciences terrified by the law, points us only to the merits of Christ, and raises us up again by the delightful proclamation of God's grace and favor. According to this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in his stead, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing tide, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. Oh, and praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, thy name above all other names, thy name above all other names.
You may be seated. This is our confession of faith regarding the scriptures. We believe, teach, and confess that the only measure to which all doctrines and teachers are to be evaluated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testaments. As it is written in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We believe, teach, and confess that this faith is not a mere knowledge of the stories about Christ, but it is God's gift. By this gift, we rightly recognize Christ as our Redeemer in the word of the gospel. We trust that only by his obedience and by grace, we have forgiveness of sins, are regarded as holy and righteous by God the Father, and shall be saved eternally. Hear now the word of the Lord.
Epistle, 1 John chapter 3. See what the kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel, Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Sorrow.
A reading from the Lord's Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I, John, said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." Please stand for prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We confess our common Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our hymn of the day, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." We think of it as a Palm Sunday hymn. And yet what happened on Palm Sunday, welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, waving palm branches, It was just pointing ahead to the eternal scene that we just saw in Revelation of all those who are gathered before the Lord, worshiping Him. Let us sing. So these are the weeks of the church year, beginning today with All Saints Day, or celebration of All Saints Day. These are the weeks that focus on the last days, anticipating the chaos that will erupt in the final days of this world, the final days before Christ returns to bring this world to a close. To raise the dead from their graves and to judge the living and the dead and to give eternal life to all who believe in Him. These are the weeks of the church year when we especially focus on these things. So we're going to focus on Future Vision 2020. It's anticipating the near future and the year 2020. But it's also wanting to have clear vision, 20/20 eyesight about that future. to have a clear vision from God about what does it mean to know something about God's future. It's the kind of future vision that can only come from God's word. Because he's the only one who can truly look around the corner, who can shine his light into the unknown dark future. So we turn to Scripture for Future Vision 2020. And this is an end times, future forward, mission supporting vision series in these few weeks. It's an end times, future forward, mission supporting vision. It's end times, last days, anticipating judgment day, and God ushering in the new world and the new life for his people. It is a future forward kind of focus in these weeks. It's future forward. It's not dwelling in the past, and it's not content with the present, but watching for the Lord to return. How we pray, come, Lord Jesus. We are waiting for the sunrise. We are waiting for Christ to return. It's future forward. But it's also not just being there idly watching, not being idle while waiting for the Lord. It is mission supporting to know these things. It is mission supporting because, God, what have you given us to do as your church, as your people? While we anticipate the end times, while we anticipate your return and this hope of the future, what mission have you given us to do in your name? And to do that mission all the more as we see the last day approaching. The mission is to share the gospel, to share this good news, to tell about the hope that we have, even as we see chaos around us, to speak of the hope that we have. So this all comes together as a vision of gospel, good news, joy, hope, a vision cast by God. Future Vision 2020, end times, future-focused, mission-supporting. And so on this day, All Saints' Day, November 1st, we move it to this Sunday to celebrate today. On this day, we celebrate those who have gone before us in the faith. We celebrate the saints of long ago who anticipated the Messiah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Old Testament, where they didn't know how God would bring about a plan of salvation, but they trusted in his promise. We think of the saints of old, the disciples, the apostles, the early church, who knew that Christ had risen from the dead and knew that this is our hope. And we think of the saints who have gone before us, our loved ones, who knew Christ as Lord, who knew that he was their only hope for salvation, who died in the faith. And yes, we miss them, and we grieve them. And yet, we know that they have that same joy and that hope that we do. So we turn to the reading from Revelation today. And there's a vision, and we could unpack the vision over and over again. But when I looked at it today, I this week, I was thinking of this. And maybe you can join in with me. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. Revelation chapter 7 has a very specific number, 144,000. It's a number that has caused a lot of speculation in the church and over the years. A number, and we have to ask, will we be in that number? Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Will we be in that number, 144,000? And the simple answer is yes. Yes, yes, you're in that number. In fact, if we put all of the vision in context in Revelation, you're in that number, and you're in that number right now. How do I know this? How do I know that you're in that number? Well, look at Revelation chapter 7. What page is it on the bulletin? I need the beginning of it. 9, that's where it begins. You look at verse 3. I know that you're in this number because of how this vision works. Verse 3, another angel shows up on the scene. You see, four other angels in chapter 6 have been given permission by God to bring about destruction and chaos on the earth, to bring his final judgment. It's a vision saying, here comes the destruction. This world will come to a close. Those four angels are ready to go do that work. And these four angels have this mandate to do this. But here in chapter 7, another angel shows up and he calls out with a loud voice, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. In other words, wait. We are still calling people into that number. So the 144,000, this scene is the gathering of the people of God who live upon the earth. Those who trust in the Lord throughout generations. Those who are sealed. And the angel is saying, we still have more work to do. There's more sealing to do. Don't bring the destruction yet. We are gathering. The ones who have been sealed. And sealed, by the way, is another way that Scripture talks about baptism. So all those who are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ, these are the ones who are the 144,000. This is why I'm confident that you are in that number. Through the gift of baptism and a gift of faith, you are sealed. And if you're with us and you're not baptized, but you believe in Jesus, you have this promise also. But let's talk about getting you baptized. But this is why I'm confident. So through baptism and faith, you are sealed. You are in the 144,000. That's what the image means. And yet still, you'll say to me, 144,000 seems like a very specific number and one that seems fairly small when you consider the world population and all the generations. How do we know that we made the cut? Well, first of all, the 144,000 being called by God in the world, this is immediately parallel to verse 9. Look at verse 9. Does that turn the page on page 10? Is that right? It's immediately parallel. John is using Hebrew ways of talking, and he's kind of using a poetic thing to keep these images parallel. 144,000 on the earth are being gathered. And then in the verse 9, he says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribes, people, and languages. The 144,000 and the great multitude are parallel. And now John has moved into a vision of the crowd on the other side of the last day. They are the ones in eternity, and it is a numberless crowd. It is beyond counting. And yet it contains every individual called to faith by God. So the numberless crowd in eternity is parallel with the 144,000. It is parallel, which means there is not a limit. There is not a limit. And you are in that number because of what God has done in you through his Holy Spirit. So then go back to 144,000. It's not meant to be a literal, small, limited group who will be saved. 144,000 is 12 times 12 times 1,000. Check my math. 144,000 is 12 times 12 times 1,000. And you're working with imagery here that all points to a vast, thoroughgoing completeness. absolutely complete. Not a single one missing. God is at work to seal, baptize, call to faith every person who will be in the great multitude. We could talk for a long time about how God uses all these numbers and symbolism. But this is what I want you to know today. Because this is what is end times, future forward, mission supporting. You have been sealed. In your baptism, sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are His. You are in that number. The 144,000, a vast, complete, uncountable multitude who will be with Jesus for eternity. That's what I want you to know. You could change the song, Oh, When the Saints. You could say, I will be in that number. You are in that number now. So what does this hold for us? An end times, future focused, mission supporting vision. The vision is of God protecting and gathering His people out of this life's chaos and bringing the multitude to Himself for eternity. What does this vision give us? Well, first of all, the vision is about end times. And we need to acknowledge the truth, the reality of the chaos, the destruction, and the death, and the evil in this world. Lots of people will look for signs. Is the end coming tomorrow? But I think what's more important is just to acknowledge the reality that there is chaos and destruction and evil at work in the world. And as people of God, we can acknowledge that reality. That is the reality. But this vision is also future forward. We get to see a glimpse through God's vision that evil is contained. Yes, evil is active in the world, but it has an end. It has an expiration date. In Revelation, you see evil, chaos, destruction. It's all bracketed by Christ being revealed and by the church celebrating in eternity. Evil takes place in between. It is contained. It is surrounded. It doesn't get the last word. The vision is future forward, looking beyond the finite, the limited space. The vision looks to the triumph and eternal reign of Christ. Finally, the mission. This vision is also mission supporting because we are called to take this good news to one another and to take the good news to others. It is end times. Yes, it is last days. It is future forward, but Christ will return. It is mission supporting. Share the good news that through Christ there is the promise that we are in that number. I want to read you a story. Brief story from Eugene Peterson. You know, he's my favorite writer, pastor, preacher, now sainted. This is from his Revelation commentary. But listen to how the vision transforms this person's life. He says, I was teaching this passage to a small group of people a number of years ago, and one of the members of the group, suddenly realizing its relevance, asked if she could tell her story. Years previously, she had had a nervous breakdown. Her whole life was in chaos, nothing fit together. She could see no meaning in anything. She felt overwhelmed by evil and guilt and sheer bad luck. She went to a counselor and was guided by him to take a good look at each detail that she had lumped into a large pile and called evil. Item by item, the feelings and events and actions were examined. Not one of them, she said, became any less horrible as she did that. But something else happened while she was doing it. She began to discover other items in her life that had been obscured by the great lump of piled up wrongs. Relationships that were delightful. Songs that were amazing. Sights that were heart-stopping. She began to experience the wonder of her of God at work in her and how she had health. She began to trust her own feelings and how valuable they were. She began to realize the preciousness of other lives and ways that she could appreciate people. She now recognized in Revelation 7 that it came into focus for her. None of the evil was abolished, but was all in a defined perspective. The nameless evils had names. The numberless wrongs were numbered. She was hardly aware of the point at which everything changed. But nothing had really changed. She could just see that they were numbered. But the glories, the hope of God, couldn't be counted. Nothing in her life changed. Everything in her life changed. She saw that evil was contained. But the hope and the joy and the promise of the gospel, that was going to be limitless. And he was bringing that to work in her life. That is our good news. That is our gospel. That is what we get to encourage one another in. That's what we get to share with others in this end times, future forward, mission-supporting vision called the gospel. Amen. Our offerings and prayer requests are now received. In our prayers today, on this first Sunday of the month, we pray for our missionary partners. We also pray for justice in our communities. We pray for our local partners who serve in the community. And our congregational goal prayer is care in community. In Thanksgiving today, we give thanks with Janine Hautzinger and her father. We've been praying for her father. Her father is home. And he has still serious issues, but the recovery has been remarkable. And so we give thanks to God. We also give thanks with Bertie Tavares, our custodian. She had a successful surgery to remove an ovarian cyst. Meanwhile, this week, Roberto Ramos, her husband, his temporary protected status was extended by the federal government. He is from El Salvador, and every once in a while that status comes up and it could expire and he could be sent back to El Salvador, a war-torn country there where he hasn't been for over 20 years. So we're very thankful that his status has been extended until January 2021. In our health concerns, and I'll abbreviate those today, we pray for Grant, who had a severe diabetic reaction and is in the hospital. So we pray for Grant. We also pray for H.T. Chong. The Chong family, our former preschool family, and I only learned this through the Love Inc. prayer list. The Chongs are wonderful Christians. They volunteer at Love Inc. And HT had a stroke a couple of months ago. He's also had some severe complications in the recent weeks. So we pray for HT. Finally, we also pray for Aaron Fleming and his family. Aaron's grandmother, Lillian, passed away on Thursday. She was 97. Give thanks for her life, but pray for them in their time of grief. We also begin our prayers today with a time of silent remembrance of your loved ones that you're thinking of who have died in the faith, and asking God for his peace and his hope in your life, even as you remember them. Are there any other prayers we can offer this morning? Kat? Your mom's birthday is tomorrow. Okay, so we give thanks with Christy Kozlik for her birthday tomorrow. Any other prayers? All right, then let's join in singing the offertory. Please stand.
Praise and honor.
of God, whose blood has bought us kings and priests to reign on earth. Wealth and wisdom, power and glory, honor, might, dominion, praise, now be his from all his creatures and to everlasting days.
Let us pray. Father, on this day when the church remembers those who have gone before us in the faith, we bring our prayers before you and begin with our silent remembrance, prayers from our hearts as we remember those who have died in the faith. We mourn their loss. We are saddened by not having them here with us, but we rejoice in the gospel that they have received. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that you have brought the gospel to us, and we thank you that you continue to send that gospel out through the church. We specifically ask that you would enable our partners to be bringing the gospel to others. Be with Pastor Nicholas Salifu, the shepherds, and the Tejadas in their ministries. Father, we give you thanks that we know that evil and chaos will have a final day. But until then, we pray that you would heal our communities, break systems of injustice, and use us as your people. Help us to bring light for people living in darkness. We give you thanks for our local partners and for the work that they do to shine light and hope so that people may see even greater hope in you. Be with Love, Inc., Cool, Pads, A Safe Place, and Informed Choices. And as a congregation, help us, Lord, in our goal of care and community. Help us as we work with our partners that we will provide direct assistance and build supportive relationships. We give you thanks today for Janine Hautzinger's father, that he is home, and while he still has serious issues, we thank you for his remarkable recovery. We give you thanks for Christy Kozlik and her birthday. We pray that you would bless and keep her in her life. We thank you for watching over Bertie Tavares in surgery. May she continue to recover well. And we thank you for Roberto Ramos and that the temporary protected status was extended for him and so many others, keeping them safe here in this country. Father, there are many on our list who are need of your healing, in need of your care and watchful eye as they struggle in health. You know our list, but specifically we lift up today Grant, dealing with a severe diabetic reaction, and H.T. Chong, as he recovers from a stroke. We pray that you would be intervening there, Lord, and may you receive the glory with that healing. Finally, Lord, we ask that you'd be with Aaron Fleming and his family as they mourn for his grandmother, Lillian. We thank you for her 97 years of life, for all the blessings you gave to her, especially for calling her to faith. Father, we thank you for hearing these prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We continue on page 13 in preparation for the Lord's Supper. We believe, teach, and confess that in the Holy Supper, body and blood of Christ are truly present. And that they are truly given and received with the bread and wine. It is the word of God that makes and sets this sacrament apart. So it is not mere bread and wine, but it is the body and blood of Christ. And we believe, teach, and confess that we will not receive the Holy Supper to our condemnation, no matter how weak our faith, as long as we retain a living faith. Christ instituted this supper especially for Christians who are weak in faith, but repent of their sins, to grant us comfort and strengthen our weak faith. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with those around you. You may be seated.
Merciful and mighty God in three persons.
Please stand. Let us, now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, that you forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit through this holy sacrament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is also taught among us that faith in Jesus Christ should produce good fruits and good works, and that we must do all such good works as God has commanded. But we should do them for God's sake and honor, to the praise of his holy name. The Lord grant you his fatherly mercy through Jesus Christ, giving you forgiveness of sin and all things pertaining to life and godliness, sending you his Holy Spirit so that he may rule your hearts and you may serve him in holiness and thanksgiving. Amen.
give to thee, I will ever give to thee.
You may be seated. Good morning. You know, sometimes it's really hard to determine how we can help each other out, how we can help out our church, how we can help out our community. But I have some great suggestions that we can all do this week because, number one, we all have opinions about how things should be run and how to do different things. And two, we also have have to eat. So, first thing that we can do this week is before you leave today, I want you to take 3 flyers from Aaron Novosek over there, or take it from the hub. They are flyers for the first sabbatical fundraiser. It's going to be tomorrow evening, or actually it's tomorrow all day. Starts at 10:30 at Panda Express. If you take a flyer or you show the flyer on your phone, they will give 20% of the sales to us, which will help us offset the cost of the sabbatical that our dear pastor is going to take next year. That's number one, because y'all have to eat. So Panda Express tomorrow evening, just everybody plan on that for dinner. The second way that you can help out is by sharing your opinion on VBS. So many of us have been to VBS. You've got your opinions, and the Board of Christian Ed and I really need to know what those are. How has VBS been done for you? Did it work having it during the week? Did it work having it in the evening? Would it work on the weekends? Is it good in the mornings? Is it good in the afternoons? How has it worked for you and your family? And please share those opinions on a note card there. We don't need to know your name. It's all anonymous. Just write down your opinions there and your point of view on one of the note cards. Just slip it into the bright pink box back there. Or you can come and join us on this Wednesday evening at 6:15, where we're going to be discussing how VBS and what VBS really means to Bethel and our community. The third way that you can help out and share your opinion is to come to the voters meeting next Sunday. It'll be held at noon. We're going to have a tailgate theme. We'll probably try and get some pregame stuff up on the TV before we dive in, and we are working on childcare. So please plan on that next Sunday after second service. And finally, the biggest way that you can help us today or this week is when you're walking around the building, if you see a clock that hasn't been changed, please do it for us. Thanks, and help with the cheers if you can.